everyone, and welcome to All About Skin. This podcast is brought to you by the Orange Trek Medical Group in New York City. I am Jody LaGerfo, family nurse practitioner certified in dermatology and family medicine. Today we will be answering questions about hair loss, so let's get started. What causes hair loss is probably one of the most popular questions I get asked, not only in the office, but on the outside. And if we think about it, there really are a few different causes of hair loss, and they're different based on the types we're talking about. Alopecia really is just a general medical term for hair loss, but it has many different causes. Hair loss can occur due to serious illnesses, due to medications, due to hormonal disorders. It can happen with certain types of dermatitis, hereditary factors, radiation, or even physiological changes that occur just because of normal aging. We all have less hair as we get older. One of the biggest questions I think I get asked, or I get told, is that, is stress, or I'm so stressed, I think I'm losing my hair. Is stress really a factor in hair loss? And it's very difficult to blame stress for hair loss or for any other disease. But I won't tell you that it really doesn't play a role. Stress is very subjective. Each person handles stress differently. And in truth, if we really think about it, I don't know anyone, including myself, who's not stressed. But when stress occurs, it does make a bad situation worse, particularly when it comes to hair loss. For example, you can have a type of hair loss called telogen effluvium, which occurs after our bodies have been exposed to a type of stressor. For example, pregnancy. After a woman delivers, you know, 6 weeks after, 8 weeks after, she starts to have hair loss, and it's temporary. But telogen effluvium itself results really in extensive and worrisome hair loss in a postpartum woman a few months after birth, and people start flipping out about it. They say, oh my God, I'm losing all my hair. But it really is a temporary condition, and the hair eventually returns to normal. Hair loss in itself is stress. It is a psychological stressor, and when people see their hair shedding in large numbers, they become obsessed with it. It really does become psychologically so taxing on them. I try to tell patients not to become psychologically affected by their hair. I often explain to my patients to use something called thought stopping to stop themselves from obsessing about the same thought over and over again. We sometimes use medications for, OCD or obsessive compulsive disorder to help them with the psychological effects of hair loss. And in addition to that, I often refer patients to a therapist who specializes in hair, because it really does make a difference overall if they're experiencing hair loss, that it eases some of that stress that hair loss causes. But in general, I can't blame stress for causing hair loss. I think a way to think about it, or a way that I think about it, is everybody is stressed, or the majority of everybody I know is stressed, but not everybody has hair loss. So you have to really think about it that way. So what are the different types of hair loss? And there are several different types, but I'll speak about three of them in general because these are the most common types that we see. One is telogen effluvium. And again, that's what I explained before. It's an extensive and worrisome amount of hair loss that occurs by a stressor on your body. So if, for example, you were really sick, you were in the hospital, you needed a blood transfusion, you had hip replacement, surgery, things like that. Or if you were pregnant, after pregnancy, we see telogen effluvium. That's a temporary type of hair loss. Androgenic alopecia, which is male pattern hair loss, is seen in men, but we also see it in females. And in females, we call it female pattern hair loss. And that's a pattern type of loss, a loss that occurs in the crown, in the frontal area, and, you know, on the top of your scalp. We also see alopecia areata, which is an autoimmune type of hair loss. Basically, a way to explain it is it's like having an allergy to your own hair. Your body sees your hair as foreign. It's autoimmune. The body does not recognize self from not itself. So what happens is your immune system starts to, you know, attack your hair follicles, the hair falls out. So what is DHT or dihydrotestosterone and how is it involved in hair loss? DHT is the active form of the hormone testosterone. Testosterone gets converted to DHT by an enzyme in your body called 5-alpha reductase. And although that's really not so important, it is the basis of androgenetic or male pattern or female pattern hair loss. High DHT levels in genetically predisposed patients affect the hair follicles and cause male pattern hair loss. I will tell you, though, that the majority of the time when we do a blood test on a patient, you know, with whom we suspect that they have male pattern or female pattern loss, the majority of the time their DHT level is normal. But a way that we like to think about it is because of that genetic predisposition, they have a sensitivity towards dihydrotestosterone. And again, we start to see male pattern hair loss, and I'm sure you know people, or female pattern, when a person is in their 20s or even early 30s, we can see a gradual loss of hair, primarily on the top of the head or the frontal peaks, the frontal hairline. Male pattern hair loss can have several different patterns, although everyone can picture like that classic portrait in their head of someone who's balding or bald. The exact mechanism of male pattern hair loss or androgenetic alopecia is thought to be from inherited factors and androgens, which are male hormones, but that affects males and females. So it's not just a male disease. Again, in females, we call it female pattern hair loss. So what is the relationship between genetics and hair loss? And really, genetics has a significant role in male pattern or female pattern hair loss. We know overall that it's probably likely that you have a mom or a dad affected with it. Sometimes someone will say, you know, I'll see a patient and they'll say, my mom and dad have great hair, but my uncle is balding, or my grandfather was bald. So somewhere along the line, someone has had hair loss or pattern type of hair loss. And of course, your children or your offspring are predisposed to that risk. Can hair loss occur in young adults? And really the answer is yes. We do start to see patterned male pattern or female pattern hair loss in patients in their late teens. I've seen it in, you know, a patient 15, 16. But typically it occurs anywhere in the 20s or 30s in someone with a family history. A parent with a history of early onset male pattern hair loss really can increase the risk for the children to have it also younger. Alopecia areata and telogen effluvium, the other types of hair loss that we're talking about, can occur in any age group. I've seen alopecia areata in, you know, a one-year-old. You know, same thing with telogen effluvium. So what can be the cause of a sudden and a large amount of hair loss? So a sudden loss of a large amount of hair can occur when there's real stressors on your system. So, for example, you're really sick, you have a high fever, Extreme weight loss, like, you know, we see patients who are having weight loss surgeries all the time. And yes, they can experience hair loss, drug use, certain medications, and of course, after pregnancy. Hair is constantly going through cycles or phasing. Anagen is what we call the growing stage of hair, and telogen is the sleeping or resting stage. Catagen is the shedding stage. And what patients need to realize, you know, and a lot of the time I stress this with them, is that they have, you know, over 100,000 hairs on their head. But out of that 100,000, about 80% of the hairs are growing or in a growing stage, and about 20% of them are sleeping. The average number of hairs that are shed every day can vary between 100 to 200 hairs a day. Some people may shed more. I mean, I probably shed 300 hairs a day. And there are people who shed less. This is just an average. And what's right for you may not be right for, you know, the next person. But when there is a sudden loss of large amounts of hair, the number of growing hairs to the resting hairs are not balanced anymore. And we can see changes in the shifts of all of those phases. The hair that has that little bulb on it is supposed to come out. That's a normal telogen hair. That's what we want to come out. But when we start to see hair shedding in all different cycles, that, you know, of course, is worrisome. And of course, when the amount of hair that you're shed is exceeding your rate of regrowth or your the way that your hair is growing back, that's when we start to notice visible loss. There's usually, if it's a telogen effluvium, that loss is temporary, and full regrowth really is expected once that balance is obtained. So there's a lot of questions associated with hair loss, and we'll surely come back to it. We've really run out of time for today. Please email all of your questions to allaboutskin@orintrite.com, and have a great day, and remember to take care of the skin you're in.